Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Happy Hump Day, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Eagle Hour. Remember that commercial, Kelly, with the, it was one of my favorite all-time commercials with the camel?
Yes.
What day is it, Mike? Mike?
That was Geico, I think, wasn't it, back in the day?
Right. Great ad agency handles Geico for sure. Happy Wednesday to you. We're glad you're with us, and glad you tuned in for another edition of the Eagle Hour. Patrick McGee will be joining us here shortly. He's down in New Orleans, going to give us an update on the New Orleans Saints. We've got the NFL power rankings today. We've got the bottom 25 of college football. There'll be some familiar names in there for you. And we'll be talking probably a little bit about basketball and other things as well. Opening segment of the show today is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. A great place to enjoy food 7 days a week. It's always good. It's always delicious. And it's a great place to call if you want to cater your next tailgate. Now, speaking of Dickey's, fellas, Dickey's and Fuzzy's Taco Shop are related. Same ownership. And we will be there the Friday before homecoming, a two-hour edition of the Eagle Hour, live from Fuzzy's Tacos. And then Kelly and Michael on the road tomorrow at Bocoma Casino.
Yeah, looking forward to that. A chance to rev up now the sports betting scene on site, of course, and talk about some of the provisions that they've got in place to make sure that everybody's safe, ready to get back to having some fun at Bocoma tomorrow.
And, of course, it is a Rice Week. We're going to have J.P. Heath on the show tomorrow to give us a preview of the Owls. Jeremy McClain, athletic director at Southern Miss, what could be a really interesting interview this Friday. We're looking forward to talking to Jeremy. Always look forward to talking to him. But it's Rice Week, guys, and we'll start with you, Luke. Golden Eagles have a kind of a fresh start. I thought a great analogy the other day was to just take the first four games, erase them from your memory, start season two, which is your conference season, and you start it with the Rice Owls.
We did not want to start 1-3. That's kind of the one we reviewed the schedule. That was kind of worst case scenario. You knew you were going to lose to Bama. And if you would have started 0-4, you might as well have thrown in the towel. But the Eagles 1-3, not where they want to be. At the same token, it is a way to forget. And I think that's what Will Hall said yesterday, you know, after Competition Tuesday. He said, we've got hope. Because it's a brand new season. I mean, you can look at the first four games of the season. They ultimately don't matter in regards to a Conference USA, you know, run. But when you look at Rice specifically, they're allowing – their defense has been pretty bad. Now, they have played three really good offenses, but even last week they gave up in the 30s to Texas Southern. They're allowing almost 460 yards, and a lot of that's on the ground. It's kind of an even split. They've allowed 232 in the air and 228 on the ground. So it's an opportunity this week for Southern Miss to work on the ground game and to take a little pressure off of Ty Keyes making plays with his arms. But I think he can do both, and so I'm excited to see what Will Hall really, other than grambling the first defense of the year where you can try to improve your running game.
And I think those numbers are indicative of the fact that Rice's defense overall is indeed not good. Those numbers are almost, through three games, almost identical, running the ball and passing the ball against Rice. And what that tells you, obviously, most teams would like to establish a running game and then go to the pass. But the fact that the, and any coach, offensive coach will tell you, ideally, 50% of one, 50% of the other. And that is exactly what has been happening. So it tells me that teams have been able to do pretty much what they want to do against Rice. So that's certainly reason for optimism going into this one Saturday. But the subtext of this game is that if they don't win it, then you're looking at a whole different complexion for the season, because the schedule, again, doesn't get any easier than these first couple of games in Conference USA, going up against Rice and then a homecoming game against UTEP.
Yeah, but I see UTEP's 3-1, Kelly.
Yeah, but now where Rice, in fairness, has played some tough ones like Texas and Arkansas, UTEP has not. They've played some real dregs so far this year, which I think we've never used the word dregs.
Dregs?
On this show.
Earlier, what was it suggested the name for the Redskin organization would be what?
The Sieves.
The Sieves, yes. That's pretty good.
They're pretty leaky.
So, UTEP's only really played Boise. They've right. beaten both of the New Mexico schools, which are typically perennially like in the – you're talking about the bottom 25, Bob. New Mexico's like in the bottom 10 by themselves with both of those teams. So they have played Boise. They lost 54-13 to Boise. So I still think – I mean, when I'm looking at this this schedule, because the way to attack it is you look at the first four, now you look at the next four. I think there's two very winnable games, maybe even three winnable games. October 16th, it's going to be a tough sledding against UAB, but who knows? If you went on the road this week, you get UTEP at home. I didn't mention this yesterday, but Dave Warner, who was the quarterback's coach on our 03 conference championship team, he's been at Michigan State for the early last almost 10 years. When they changed coaches, he had to find a new job. But he's the OC at UTEP with Dana Dimel. So, you know, they have potential. They're just implementing the first year. But I feel like Rice, UTEP, Middle Tennessee, certainly winnable games for the Golden Eagles. So you may look up and Eagles, you know, could possibly be could be 4-4. And who knows what might happen on October 16th.
Well, that's an optimistic look, and that's what we're hoping.
And Dana Dimel and Seth Luttrell at North Texas, Dana Dimel at UTEP, Seth Luttrell at North Texas. There's no secret that those guys are coaching for their jobs. I mean, going into this year.
And what happened to Seth Luttrell? He was one of the hottest names in coaching just a couple of years ago.
And there's a difference between X and O coaches and coaches that can recruit. All right, so sometimes you get head coaches that are great recruiters, but not necessarily good X and O's guys, which I'm beginning to think Matt Campbell is at Iowa State. I'm beginning to think that Matt Campbell is a really good recruiter, but not necessarily a good X and O guy. Then you might have some coaches that are really good X and O's guys, but not very good at recruiting. So what makes those coaches elite are the guys that can recruit and are good X and O guys.
Ellis Johnson type coaches.
Ellis Johnson, though this is the second time in one show that we've mentioned his name, and we're under contract not to do that. But defensively, a lot of people will say that X's and O's wise, he was decent, you know, but definitely that's where the line, you know, stopped.
Yeah. You guys both got fined twice by the FCC and by the Southern Miss fan base.
Ellis is a what? It is a four-letter word? No, it's a five-letter word. I didn't use the last name.
Yeah. It's actually, the E is one letter, the I is another letter, the S is a third letter, and then you add 12 L's in there, so it becomes a 15-letter word.
Yeah, ELOS or whatever you want to call them. Yeah. But North Texas and UTEP are playing with some urgency this year, which makes the complexion of those games different.
Part of the reason with North Texas is Mason Fine was there, and I think that quarterback play really allowed the coaching staff at North Texas maybe to have more success than they would have otherwise. But it's just hard to replace a dude like that.
Yeah, and you go back to the Southern Miss years when Brett Favre was here. Curly Hallman, the head coach, gets hired at LSU, and that didn't work. And people were going, I just don't understand why that didn't work. Curly seemed to be this young phenom, this wunderkind, you know, at Southern Miss, and then goes and lays an egg at LSU. Well, the answer was very clear. He had Brett Favre at Southern Miss.
Right.
Right? And he didn't have – so the quarterback position is certainly very important.
What I think is so impressive about the job that Todd Monken did here, he didn't inherit any – he inherited a mess, a bad mess. And the progress that he made and the team that he put on the field the last year he was here, I would argue maybe the single best coaching job we've seen at Southern Miss.
That's reasonable. And he was a joy to be around as a media person, too.
He was
too.
Fantastic.
He didn't, yes. I mean, he told you exactly what was on his mind, and if it hurts your feelings, it hurts your feelings,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he was really fantastic. Would you agree with that, Luke? I just think that if you look at an individual job, when you take what you had when you got here and what you did before you left, it would be hard to argue that Todd Monken was right at the top of the list.
Doubled his win total in year three from the wins he had in year one and year two. And you could argue, too, it was his staff that really allowed Nick Mullins to bloom and blossom into the, you know, professional quarterback he's become.
Right.
It was because, I mean, when you come in like that, I mean, they literally built the next 4 years around Nick Mullins. They threw him in there, you know, it was and then he kind of spent half a year injured, but then really blossomed. And it would have been scary to see, you know, what that 16 team would have done with year four if
no
the perfect
question.
Job would not
yeah.
have come up in, with Todd Monken.
No question. All right, we're going to find Patrick McGee coming up. We've got the NFL power rankings. Can you believe if there was a top 20 in the NFL, a top 20 poll that they put out of the NFL, the Cincinnati Bengals would be number 18 in the country?
Hooday, baby. Hooday say gonna beat them Bengals. Which is a direct ripoff of the Saints' Who Dat, of course.
We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net. That's where you need to go to buy your Southern Miss apparel. Nowhere else. They're on Hardy Street right across from the Southern Miss campus. You can shop them online at campusbookmart.net. Tell Miss Kathleen that the Eagle Hour said hello. All right, we're going to go down to Nolens, and that's where we find Patrick McGee now with the newspaper organization in the city of New Orleans, and he's officially become our unofficial but official Saints update guy. Patrick, the Saints rank 15th in the NFL power rankings, a little low, I thought. And the Saints are kind of a hard team to figure a little bit after three games. Where do you put this squad?
I think they're better than 15. I think that defense really puts them as a top 10-like team. Defensively, they put, you know, they had a bad half, I think, at Carolina, then came in kind of shut things down. But overall, I mean, it's really been, if you add up all the quarters, they probably had, 10 dominant quarters through 3 weeks as a defense. And they were missing a lot of guys against Carolina, got some guys back against the Patriots just last week, and that showed. They really kind of handled them. So I think, you know, we haven't seen the best out of this offense yet. I mean, Jameis Winston has yet to throw over 150 yards in a game. Eventually, Michael Thomas is going to get back in the fold. And these next two games, if you look at them, the Giants and Washington, those are two games that are pretty darn winnable. Then you have the Seahawks. So I think this team, you know, is perfectly capable if they play up to their expectations. They're sitting at 4-1 here after 5 weeks.
I want to ask you this. I want to kind of sidetrack you a little bit. You're right. The Saints beat the Patriots. And then after you answer this, we can go around the horn. Are we beginning now to see, or am I premature in making this assessment, that the secret of the dynasty in New England was Tom Brady and not necessarily the coach?
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of a perfect situation. I mean, Belichick knows what he's doing. He's able to build a good team. And around Brady and really have a competent squad in all areas, you know, special teams, offense, and defense. So it was kind of an ideal situation for Brady to come up, and he was always going to have a good team around him. maybe not always dynamic. I mean, you had Randy Moss and guys like that he played with, where they were just, you know, darn near impossible to beat. But when you think back over, you know, there haven't been a lot of really, really great receivers that, you know, had those had that situation with Gronkowski and that other tight end that we won't mention his name. They were pretty darn good at that point. But overall, you know, Brady didn't have outstanding talent around him for the most part, just aside from the occasional season here or there. So, yeah, I mean, Brady was really the centerpiece of everything. Belichick just really knew what he was doing defensively and able to build a franchise. But, yeah, I would say Brady is the player most, or the person most, that we have to credit most for what the Patriots were able to do.
It was the GOAT, Kelly. See, I told you. Patrick agrees it was the GOAT.
My mom always said, if you can't say something nice about someone, don't say anything at all. I have nothing to say.
The GOAT, Luke. It was the GOAT, wasn't it?
Going back to the Saints, the more important team in this conversation, Patrick. One thing that really is, I don't know the last time this happened, but when you look at how Sean Payton called plays, I mean, there was actually a picture of Sean Payton after one of Jameis's touchdowns. He was almost like smirking, just kind of looking off in the distance like, wow, can't believe we got that one. Saints ran 59 plays on offense. 38 of those were rushing plays. When's the last time Sean Payton called a 64% rush, 36% pass game? Just seems wild to me.
Yeah, it seems unusual, but I think Payton, you know, coming in, knows Alvin Kamara is the best player on the football team. Or, you know, and you really want your offense to kind of be centered around him. And it's you know, Jameis Winston had a great first week. It wasn't that as explosive. I mean, of course, all the touchdown passes were great, but like I said, he hadn't thrown for 150 yards yet. So he hasn't shown yet that he's somebody that you can really ride to a win. It is on Kamara, and once you get Michael Thomas back in the fold, maybe you'll see more in the passing attack. But I think we're going to see a lot of running the ball all season, maybe not to that extent. But, you know, if Winston starts to kind of struggle a little bit, I mean, he's thrown some wild passes the last couple of weeks. I mean, you could really kind of go back, and if he's confident that Taysom Hill can hold on to the football, you're talking about a rushing attack that's going to be really offense that's really going to be dominated by the run. So, yeah, I mean, I we're going to see a lot of Alvin Kamara, and that's the right thing.
So when does Thomas realistically return? And kicker Will Lutz has been on the shelf too, and Rosas, you know, is not as good as Lutz, frankly.
Yeah, no, Lutz, they need Lutz back. Thomas is just going to be kind of touch and go for a little while. He's somebody that's kind of unpredictable as a person, so I don't really want to say a good week on when he's going to be back. But Lutz, they need him back pretty soon. All impressions are this may be something that stretched in the 6 or 7 weeks.
That's not good.
Well, except Patrick, you got the Giants and Redskins next.
On the other side of the ball, you know, a lot of times you won't get out physical, or you won't out physical a Bill Belichick team. I mean, they really forced the Patriots to throw the ball. Mac Jones ended up throwing 51 passes. That would be high even for Brady. But they held the Patriots to 49 yards rushing. And you know, as long as you're kind of doing that, you can, you know, kind of play a little more back in the secondary. I mean, that kind of bodes well for things to come, certainly this week. The Giants are terrible. But, I mean, if the Saints can do that against the Patriots, you know, perhaps they can, you know, some of these other teams, especially in the South, they can play a little better going forward.
Yeah, there's really no sign of a weak spot on the defense. They're good in all phases. I think there was some concern coming into the season that the secondary could be a problem, but they remedied that with just a couple of acquisitions there just before the season started. So really across the board, the Saints are Lattimore's played great. I mean, even come back after a week off after thumb surgery, he was really, really good at corner. It's that defense is really, really good, and they're going to stop teams up front. They're good on the defensive front. They're playing without Davenport and one or two other guys, and they're still really good there. So really depth across the board is what makes this Saints team so good. I mean, you go down Armstead at left tackle and you plug in Hurst, and he plays really well. There's really no one area on this team that there is no that depth is a concern. They really shored up the cornerback spot. So really across the board, I can't this is one of those seasons where everything kind of fell into place in terms of depth. I'm not saying they're great at every position, but in terms of depth, they got options everywhere.
All right, Patrick, you're the expert. Let's get your opinion. Here are the NFL power rankings. The 1, 2, 3 teams in the league, the Rams, the Bucks, the Packers. Your thoughts?
Oh, no. Packers at 3? No. I mean, I wouldn't say that. Is that where they have them? I haven't even looked at
Rams, Bucks, Packers.
That makes no sense. Why would they have the Packers?
Beat them by 35.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Top 10 are the Rams, Bucks, Packers. Bills are number 4. Ravens are number 5. They should maybe be 1 and 2 if they make the right call at the end of that game. The Chiefs at 1 and 2, the 6th rated team in the league. The 49ers, the 7th rated team. Yeah. Don't get that. The Browns, the Raiders, and the Chargers are your top 10.
Where did this come from, Bob? Like, what is this from the 7th grade science class at
whoever makes the NFL power rankings. Here are the bottom 3 guys. What do you think about this, Patrick? The Jets, the Jags, the Lions.
Yeah, well, I feel bad for the Lions. They lost on a 66-yard field goal. I probably wouldn't even put them down that low.
Right.
I know they haven't been great, but the Jets are just horrific. I can't imagine a franchise that's been as bad as they have. Jaguars.
Well, you got 2 cities too that are talk about a tale of 2 cities. You got L.A., who have 2 terrific teams. The Chargers went into Kansas City last week and won. Of course, the Rams are number 1 in the power ratings.
The Raiders.
Yeah. The Raiders are in Las Vegas now, right?
Oh, that's right.
So you got
that's
the 2
right.
L.A. teams that are at the top of their games, and you've got the 2 New York teams. The Jets and Giants are both full fledged tire fires.
Both of them.
This is an odd poll, Patrick. The Saints, I agree, are far better than 15th in the league. How about the Cincinnati Bengals, the number 18 team in the league?
I haven't had a chance to really watch them this season, but I keep seeing Joe. I'm a big believer in Joe Burrow. I think he's a very good quarterback. As long as they, get the really skilled players around him, I think they're going to be a good team. Kind of going back to the era where they were consistently winning 10, 11 ball games a year. I think the Bengals are a potential playoff team this season.
And last question, we're about out of time. Have we seen the rise and now beginning to see the fall of the Chiefs, or is it too early to ride out Kansas City?
No, they're fine. It's just, you're going to have those early 3 games. Through 3 games, it's not a great indicator. I mean, you want to be 2-1 and not 1-2, but I'm not worried at all about the Chiefs. They'll run off 6 or 7 wins at some point.
And finally, Patrick, how is Blue adapting to his new environment there on Magazine Street?
He loves it. He likes walking around the neighborhood here in New Orleans, and he follows me everywhere in my apartment. I've lived in like 3 different places since I've had him, and he's afraid I'm going to move out on him again, I guess, or something. I don't know.
Blue's in good hands. There's no doubt about
the
that.
The wonder dog.
All right, Patrick, thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, everybody, NOLA.com. Great contributor to the Eagle Hour. All right, the bottom 25, Kelly. Not the top 25, the bottom 25.
Of college football?
College football's next.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
4th Street brings you the third segment of the Eagle Hour every single day. Fried Catfish Friday coming up. Hey, I ate it last Friday. It was extremely good. Bob, again, missed out. But it was really good for us. Kelly, you got... It was the burger?
The 4th Street burger, yeah. And they cooked it to perfection. Now, being raised in the Midwest, I know how beef is to be cooked. And they cooked it exactly the way it should have been cooked for its utmost taste. So it was great.
One of the best lunches in the world, $8.95, comes with a drink every day at 4th Street. We appreciate their sponsorship of the Eagle Hour. And by the way, while we're talking... You can listen to the Eagle Hour anywhere. Of course, you can join us every day 1 to 2 on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 or Super Talk Laurel 99.3. SupertalkHattiesburg.com, SupertalkLaurel.com. But if you miss us live, you can always go back and listen on demand. And, of course, we are on a plethora of podcast platforms. There you go. That's your triple P for the day. Plethora of podcast platforms.
Wow.
Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher. You can find our numbskulls on there anytime, us running our mouth on demand. And if you don't like it, you can just, you know, fast forward. If you don't like something Kelly says, you can just, you know, go to the end of the episode and see what tomorrow's is. Anyway, we are on a plethora of podcast platforms. There it is for the last time. Check us out. We appreciate everybody, of course, listening to the Eagle Hour. And Luke, Bob, and Kelly from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Guys, I want to tell you, I got a fiber or internet upgrade yesterday. Houston was in the show or was in the studio. I couldn't do the show live here, but I think this echo that I've been dealing with or this delay that I've been dealing with for like 3 or 4 years, it's gone. Well, like it's absolutely amazing because I have to like continually try to jump ahead and try to, you know, if I'm going to interject, like I do it a second, but it's gone today. And, man, I hope this stays.
Yeah, well, we had Houston here and George here, the two TeleSouth engineers. We had Caleb Hamill here, who's basically an engineer. There was nothing in the building we couldn't fix yesterday, Kelly. But nothing broke until they left.
Well, that's not true. Scary Gary was here. And
Scary Gary
was beyond fixing. You know?
Yes, and he sat in with us the last segment. It was great to see Scary Gary.
Hey, Luke, are you starting a poll question today? Have you got a... Because I'd like
it's
to...
It's up, yeah.
Okay.
We've got a poll question now on the Eagle Hour Twitter profile page at USM Eagle Hour, and what it is, already had 5 votes so far. It's only been up like 3 minutes. What conference do you want to see Southern Miss in? And we've got several options. Of course, Sun Belt, the AAC, stay in Conference USA, or, man, let's go back to the old school days of being independent. That's not a viable option. We just threw it in there for fun. But what conference do you want Southern Miss in? Poll will be up for a couple days. Interesting to see what you say. That's on the Super Talk Eagle Hour Twitter page.
All right, before we get to the bottom 25, let me mention something that was brought to my attention this morning. We didn't talk about it in any great detail, but there was some concern about baseball player Gabe Montenegro with some visa issues. Of course, he, you know, is
being able to stay in the country.
Correct. Well, it's my understanding that after a very fearful time that there was some concern that he might not be able to get a visa to come back to the United States. It's my understanding that got cleared up yesterday.
Oh, great.
And it does appear that Gabe is on his way back to Hattiesburg and on his way back to he'll go into the season as probably the preseason MVP of the team. So, I mean, this is really good news for baseball if this is true.
And look, it was really tenuous. Yeah, whether he was – there was a legitimate shot that he was not going to be able to come back.
It was really tenuous, yeah. Yes. All right, bottom 25 of college football, Kelly and Luke. Well, you want me to start at the top, the worst teams,
yes,
or you want me to start at number 25?
No, let's go to the 25 and then end up at the worst team.
All right, the bottom five or number 25, and then I'll give you these segments you guys can comment on. 2-3 Hawaii, the worst team in the country. Number 24, Conference USA proudly announces that Florida International is the second worst team in the country. Colorado, number 23. Tulsa, number 22. Miami of Ohio, number 21. Fellas, any surprises there?
Yeah, I mean, Hawaii's won 2 games.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, that's really surprising.
So hold on. We're going 25 is like the 25th worst team, and we're working our way down to number
that's
1
correct.
Is the absolute
worst.
That's
okay. Correct. That's correct. Yeah. All right.
I would have FIU lower than that.
Yeah.
I would have them way lower than that.
All right. Here we go. 20 through 15. And again, now we're working
toward the worst.
Toward the worst. Number 20, Washington State.
Cougars out of the Pac-12.
Get this, number 19, South Florida, number 18, USM, number 17, North Texas, and number 16, Texas State.
Texas State out of the Sun Belt, 2 Conference USA teams together. What I'm surprised is we haven't heard Old Dominion yet.
Correct. Are you surprised that USM would be number 18, Luke?
No, I mean, you're 1-3 with two losses to a Sunbelt team. I mean,
right.
The point is we have the poll right where we want them because we will be moving out this week after we went on the road. South Florida kind of really, as far as how much they've tanked the last few years and what they've done this year, they got blown out by an unranked NC State team. They got shellacked by Florida. They beat Florida A&M. They actually played better against BYU. But you know what? They're going to get killed this Saturday. They've got Garrett Riley's offense at SMU who, you know, beat La Tech. They'll probably get shellacked again. But South Florida, an American team that low, is kind of surprising.
This is the shocker of all. Number 15 in the worst, in the bottom 25, Florida State University 0-4. Vanderbilt number 14, Arizona number 13, three Power 5 schools right there. And then two schools, I believe, Kelly, I'm right, that this is the Sun Belt, Arkansas State and Georgia Southern.
That's correct. Georgia Southern, of course, made a coaching change. Chad Lunsford was fired this week, so they're in the market for a coach right now.
What about Florida State, guys? Number 15 in the bottom 25.
How far the mighty have fallen.
Unbelievable.
And it was how, you know, they almost beat Notre Dame to start the season. And they played Louisville within eight. The one that surprised, see, I thought Arizona would be lower than that. They have the nation's like longest, I think it's like at 16 games now, the longest losing streak in the country. And so if you've got that, I don't see how they're treading water at 14. I thought they should be in the top 10.
All right, here's 10 through 5. Number 10, Kansas, 1-3, perennially terrible in football, great in basketball. Number 9, Ball State. Number 8, this week's USM opponent, the Rice Owls, the number 8 team in the bottom 25. New Mexico State, number 7. Kelly, I'm sure you know the nickname of Akron. They're the 6th worst team in the country at 1-3.
The Zips.
I knew it.
Z-I-P.
How is Akron not in the bottom 5? They are.
Oh, they almost are.
Horrible.
they almost are.
They beat Bryant. Like, who is Bryant?
Correct.
Like, where does he live? They got beat by 50 by Auburn. They got blown out by terrible Temple. And then they got beat by 52 by Ohio State. Yeah. Who is Bryant?
Yeah.
Like that's the only, like, Akron should be in the bottom 5 for sure.
Rice 1-3, that's a little unfair, I think, because they lost 3 games to pretty good teams.
Yeah, I can see the argument. We're going to find out a lot this Saturday, aren't we?
All right, guys, here are the bottom 5, and there's not a win amongst these teams. Not one single win. They are 12, 15, these 5 teams are 0-18 on the season. Number 5, and it almost seems shameful to say this, the Naval Academy. Number 4, UNLV. Number 3, UMass. Number 2, UConn. Would anyone want to venture what is the worst college football team in the country?
How is it not UConn?
Or UMass. I don't know.
Ohio University.
Ah.
Yes, yes. Are they not coached by the former coach at Nebraska? And haven't they been pretty good?
Frank Solich.
Is he not there anymore?
I think he may have retired last year.
I think he retired last year, yeah.
So Navy's 0-3, UNLV is 0-3, UMass is 0-4, UConn is 0-4. Ohio is your worst team in the country this week at 0-4.
UNLV almost beat Fresno State last Thursday, though. I mean, they had the lead going into that fourth quarter. So,
I think a win over Rice gets us out of this poll. Would you agree with that?
The very least.
Yeah.
The Ohio Bobcats did lose to Duquesne. Is that how you say it? That really smart school?
Yeah, Duquesne.
Yeah, they lost to them 28-26. Interesting about Navy. Navy almost beat Houston. They've only played 3 games. You know, they fired their offensive coordinator after they lost to Air Force, which kind of rarely happens at the service academies that happens like midseason. But it has at Navy, and, you know, that staff's been there for a while.
Yeah,
I may have them a little higher. I mean, how is – if Navy played Akron, Navy would beat Akron.
Right.
I mean, I don't understand how you have that.
Well, I think to me the shocker, though, is Florida State, 0-4. How can a team with access to that many great players, that kind of money – that kind of history be this bad?
And honestly, they probably shouldn't be that far down, but it's human nature to want to kick a guy while he's down. And
right.
Florida State was on top for so long that people got sick of them. And now they're going, welcome to the real world, Florida State. Enjoy it while you're down here, because we're going to keep you down here as long as we can.
Luke and I remember playing Florida State in like sub-Arctic weather over in Shreveport, Louisiana. That was a fun day, right, Luke?
It was, and when Buster yelled out about Ito Smith and started cheering for him right in the middle of the press box,
go Ito!
I ran the other way.
We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Way back in May, I ran a 5.240 with the help of DBAT and D1 training in Hattiesburg. Kelly witnessed it. Bob heard about it. But DBAT and D1 get all the credit. They can help you too. DBATHattiesburg.com on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Luke, Bob, and Kelly from the First Bank Studios in Laurel and Hattiesburg. First Bank, been there over a century for Mississippi, there for you. And, of course, the home of the Perfect 10, Reggie Collier. First Bank, our studio sponsor here for the Eagle Hour. Announced today, some Southern Miss volleyball home matches will be on the ESPN networks in October, this coming weekend, when the Lady Eagles host UTSA. ESPN Plus will broadcast both matches at 6 p.m. on Friday and 12 p.m. on Saturday. And then when they take on Louisiana Tech, October 29th and October 30th, both of those will be on ESPN Plus. So Lady Eagles getting some coverage. Men's basketball opening practice yesterday. Coach Jay Ladner saying that you will see this team play with more pace. Offensively and defensively, they're going to practice a little over a month before they welcome Delta State on November the 4th for an opening exhibition game to kick off the season. And guys, how about men's golf? They have had three tournaments. They went out to Louisiana, went up to Washington, and this yesterday they finished up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, at the Old Town Club Collegiate. Two of the three tournaments, the Golden Eagles have finished in the top three. Yesterday, going against some big-time programs like Wake Forest, Duke, Virginia Tech, Penn State, SMU, the Golden Eagles finish second out of 15 teams. They place four of their golfers in the top 35. Two of their golfers, Bryce Wilkinson and Hunter Atkins, who was on the Eagle Hour last week, both of those guys finish in the top four. Hunter Atkins finishes third overall. He shoots a 10 under. Also, Bryce Wilkinson shoots a 9 under. Coach Brescher, we salute you, sir. Two out of the first three tournaments, the men's golf finish in the top three. They'll practice and get ready for the Wolfpack Intercollegiate hosted by North Carolina State in a couple weeks, October 16th and 17th in Raleigh, North Carolina. Well done, golf team.
And I think,
well done.
And I think what we should do, Luke, is a Bob, is a golf clap.
Shh.
Yes, that's right. Hold up sign. This is be quiet.
We would never make it at a golf tournament. We would be talking far too much. All right, Kelly, NFL news. Southern Miss, kind of surprising. Jamie Collins, he's not in Detroit anymore.
He is not. The Detroit Lions officially released Jamie Collins yesterday. And you have to really kind of peel this back a little bit to try to figure out what's going on. Jamie Collins, who by all accounts can still play, still a really good player. Had a big contract with Cleveland, didn't last there but a couple seasons, then went back to New England, all right, didn't last a very long time, then goes to Detroit and gets cut again. And, you know, different sources out there just saying that that apparently there's just some locker room issues that other players are saying about Jamie Collins, that he's not necessarily the teammate that they want to see in their particular locker rooms. The Lions, you know, last week were saying, you know, look at how the Detroit defense played 2 weeks ago, and then this past week they nearly beat the Ravens, and that was a team without Jamie Collins. And I think when they found out how well they played without Jamie, I think that's when they decided to let him go. So we hope that he's, you know, that he's okay personally. He's a Southern Miss guy and will always be. And certainly you can't take away from what he's done in the NFL. But for whatever reason, just finding difficulty staying in a place very long. We hope whatever those issues are, and they get cleared up.
Just to show you, I mean, the Lions basically then are eating his entire 2021 salary, which he will have played 16 games for the Lions, and apparently the Lions are paying him his full salary. So, Bob, he will make, in 16 games in the NFL, he will make $20 million. That's pretty good work if you can get it.
I should have played professional football. That's what I should have done, Kelly.
What, and take the pay cut from Supertalk?
Yeah, I should have. You know, I should have. Hey, here's another great story real quickly. Apparently, a reporter had some kind of off, you know, some sort of joke. I don't think it was malicious, but made fun of Coach Will Hall's heavy Southern accent. And here was Coach Hall's response. I am what I am. I'm proud of what I am. So he's a proud Mississippian who makes no apologies for his Southern accent. And I say good for you, Coach.
Baby, to the top, baby.
And
we love you, Will Hall.
And we've got two senators just like that other guy does.
So correct.
You can make fun of our state all
Where
you want.
Where was he from? Was he eating caviar in Rhode Island when he said that?
I mean, probably.
He didn't even
a
he didn't know the difference between
reporter.
Cover two or cover three.
These are the same people that think horse reins are whips. I mean, so you don't really pay much attention to much attention to what they think. All right, Kelly and Michael at Bocoma Casino in Sandersville tomorrow. We're also going to have J.P. Heath from Rice University on the show. Give us a preview of the Owls. Athletic Director Jeremy McClain on the Eagle Hour Friday.
And we've got our Twitter poll that's up right
yes.
now.
And what is it's that up. Again, Luke?
Super Talk Eagle Hour at USM Eagle Hour. Already got 15 votes right now. Nobody wants to stay in Conference USA. Nobody.
All right, Luke will have the results of that tomorrow. We hope you'll join us then, 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.